I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. We will have Badgers running back Rashid Ibrahim on the podcast later on. Getting a nod of approval from John Veldheis here.
He's
a pretty good interview.
Yeah, very timely.
But like I said, we got John Veldheis on to start the podcast here to talk about the Badgers. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. This is a Badgers team that is now 6-0. They're number 5 in the country. And they haven't, probably with the exception of BYU, haven't put together a complete performance yet.
No. It's interesting. I mean, like, I think they're kind of right about where we thought they would be, right? Don't you think? I mean, you know, 6-0, they've had, you know, a couple quarters where, you know, something was off either way. But, you know, if it were, like, with the Purdue game, the offense was moving the ball well, but turned the ball over three different times in ways that you know, think probably pretty much directly took points off the board, and their defense, you know, kept them in it and you know, rose to the occasion again. So yeah, I mean, like, it's you know, 5-6 games in. I mean, I think they're right about where they are, but you're right. It'll be interesting to see if they can put together a complete performance. I mean, like, I feel like we talk about that a lot. That is, you know, saying this team hasn't put together a complete performance, but you know, with the schedule, did they really need to, you know, through these first couple of games? I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, I think before the season, we kind of thought the BYU and Nebraska road games would be tougher than
right.
They were. By the time you got there, you really expected them to just win those games pretty handily. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people were concerned about the Nebraska being a night game, but all in all, they haven't played a good opponent yet, and they haven't had to put together a complete performance. That being said, you know, at some point, you know, that's going to, you know, turning the ball over, you know, three times in a game is going to kill them against a team like Iowa or Michigan. I actually ranked Iowa this week.
Did you really?
I did. I didn't expect
24,
to.
24,
25? 24. I think I was the only one to rank.
Oh, all right, cool.
I didn't expect it.
You're just
trying
to curry favor with the people in Iowa City.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They're nice down there. Very good food.
No, but I mean, their 7-point loss in Michigan State doesn't look as bad.
That's true.
And, lost to Penn State on the last play.
Right, yeah.
They lost to Iowa State.
Yeah, you've kind of sold me.
They lost to Iowa State. Doesn't even look as bad as this time. So
okay.
I think people need to throw it at them. Anyway,
oh, okay.
The point is that once they get to that stretch of games, Iowa, Michigan,
yeah,
like, they're going to have to put together. Like, it could really hurt. Like, one or two costly turnovers could cost them a game and cost
Absolutely.
Them a shot at the playoffs.
So what you're saying is that the next 3 weeks, we're going to be saying the same thing, is that, you know, maybe they haven't put together a complete game, but you know, if they win their next three against Maryland, Illinois, and Indiana, we get to Iowa and Michigan back to back. It's like, well, have we seen this team, you know, play a full game yet?
yeah, that's it. I'm saying that basically this is going to be the narrative for three more games. I mean, yeah, I guess we could get to 9-0 and be like, I still don't know how good this team is.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It's yeah. I mean, that's the interesting part about this season is, you know, you try and, like, I don't know if, you know, I mean, you're the one with the AP vote, so I don't know if, you know, you guys, or if you're out there, you know, banging the drum to, you know, get people to, you know, make sure that they give Wisconsin their due for, you know, going undefeated through their first couple games here or whatnot, but it is hard to, you know, to really, you know, for them to get a lot of national attention when, you know, they haven't played a ranked team yet, and as far as their schedule looks right now, the only ranked team on the schedule is Michigan, and so, you know, really, it might be until that Michigan game where, you know, if they're undefeated going into or after that game, that's probably when you'll see, I think, people, you know, perk their ears up a little bit and say, well, you know, this Wisconsin team, say they run the table through here and they beat Michigan, they'll be 11-0, and they say, well, you know, they have their game against Minnesota and then a matchup against, you know, hypothetically Ohio State or Penn State, and then you're kind of, you know, looking at seeing a scenario where they'll pick up a lot more national attention through that point. But, you know, we might be, you know, the Badgers might remain relatively anonymous for the next couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, and I did rank Wisconsin 5th, and I just, I didn't feel great about it, though. I mean,
it's hard, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like you were saying. I mean, there are two road games that they've played so far were BYU and Nebraska. Going into the season, I thought the BYU game would be something that was really kind of like a barometer for it. But then they went out and they won it 40-6. And BYU just looks terrible for, you know, through all the games that they've played. And then, you know, obviously the Nebraska game was another one that I think people, if they weren't convinced that they were, that the Badgers were going to go undefeated this season, that was one of the ones that they were kind of pointing and say this is a game that they could drop because it's, you know, it was a generally tough division opponent on the road in front of a great crowd. But, you know, they, you know, kind of flipped the switch in the second half and, you know, turned that game into a rout pretty quickly after that. And, you know, after that point, you know, we got Maryland, two road games against Illinois and Indiana, and then I guess we'll just kind of see where they're at through there. But yeah. So I don't blame you for not feeling great about it because, you know, really who have they played that you could go out and say this is a signature win that you could, you know, really point to.
Yeah, not only have they not played anybody, but they get in that game against Purdue where they let them hang around. And so, I mean, they haven't really won, like, super impressively in all their games either.
Right.
You know, Florida Atlantic, they only won by 17. Mm-hmm. So,
I think Florida Atlantic's a little better than, you know, people kind of thought they would be just from a talent perspective. But
that's true. And, you know, I feel like I could have ranked them probably as low as 7th, but it's, I think it's going to be really interesting to see where they are when the first college football rankings come out. We're only 2 weeks away from
that. Oh, okay, yeah. I kind of forgot when those were coming
out. So, like, I think it's going to be after the Illinois game is the first. I believe that's the first week they come out. I think it's on Halloween.
Yeah.
And that'll be really interesting because
no, you're right.
Because the committees, I don't think they're going to have an issue, you know, putting undefeated team below one loss teams if that team hasn't played good enough competition, or if they just think the one loss team is better. So, you know.
You know, you could definitely see Ohio State jump back up over them with losing to Oklahoma, although, you know, Oklahoma has that other loss to Iowa State, but, you know, Iowa State doesn't look so bad, you know, so I don't know. I mean, like, I think you're right. Like, that'll be really interesting just to see where they, you know, kind of get set up, because those are the rankings that matter if you're, you know, looking at Wisconsin season and, you know, thinking they could go undefeated in the regular season, and then you have a one-game playoff to potentially get into the college football playoff if you're, you know, 13-0 at that point in Big Ten champs. I mean, that's what you care about, and, you know, seeing how many with a couple other, you know, interesting teams that the committee would have to take a look at. I mean, yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see where that shakes out. So so if they have 2 weeks, then they have 2 weeks to kind of, you know, go out and you know, kind of put their stamp on these next couple weeks and show that they can play a complete game. You know, not that I think they would get a ton of, you know, credit if they run Maryland or Illinois out of the games, either one, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, you say they probably won't get credit for that, but I think that when you look at a team like Ohio State, who lost to Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and hasn't played anybody besides Oklahoma,
right?
They've blown out everybody else, though, and I think that does have an effect. At least in some sense. I think that I've talked about the last couple of weeks on the podcast that I think style points matter in this stretch of easy games for Wisconsin, and
they weren't
able to do that against Purdue. And I think that, you know, I mean, even if they get to this season, I think if they finish like 12-1, I think style points in this little stretch here mm-hmm. are going to matter. If they go 13-0, you know, they're going to be in regardless. But if it's like, you know, if it's questionable between them and another team, I think, you know, their schedule is going to be dissected, and they're going to be like, oh, they only beat Purdue by 8. They only I think it matters. So,
I'm curious if did the Purdue game change much about what you thought Wisconsin's offensive or overall ceiling is? Just, you know, from people that I had been talking to, I'm curious if that changed what you thought about them.
I don't think so, because I think it's mainly about just cleaning up the turnovers and penalties mm-hmm. and things like that. I think when you look at the Purdue game, it was an ugly game. It was 17-9, but mm-hmm. they put up about 500 yards of total offense. They moved the ball well. I mean, without the, you know, I mean, they easily could have lost that game, too. I mean,
absolutely.
The defense didn't step up after those turnovers and keep them out of the end zone.
To have those, I think it was the three turnovers or three. Two of those three turnovers or whatever to only give up one field goal out of them, and out of the, I think it was out of those three drives where Purdue started on Wisconsin's side of the field to only give up one field goal. I mean, that's easily, you know, the major reason why you were able to hang on to that game. Is, you know, if your defense doesn't step up there, that's your first loss on the season. And,
yeah,
you know, definitely in a game that I don't think people would have predicted them to lose. But I mean, from my perspective, I agree with you that they moved the ball really well. That game easily could have been, you know, they could have won by probably two or three touchdowns. I mean, like they were right on the door with you know, before Jonathan Taylor fumbled. They moved the ball well, you know, up until Hornibrook's first interception down the field going the other way, and then his second interception came right after they had a couple of those penalties that pushed them back because they were right. I think they were inside the 10 or inside the 15. After that run, and then I think Ibrahim or somebody had the block come back, and that pushed them back. Then they had another false start, and then by that point, they're, you know, into like a second or third and long, and they're within field goal range there too, and you know the pick erased that. But those are three drives where you've moved the ball well, you kind of had the defense on their heels a little bit, and to not get any points out of, you know, any of those three, you know, makes the game look a lot closer than it really was. But you know, and in a week where other teams around the country did not take care of enough of their business to beat teams that they were ranked ahead of, or you know, anything like that, I think you have to give the Badgers a little credit for doing enough of what they needed to do to hang on and win. But I think there's enough reason where, you know, people shouldn't get too down in case anybody's out there that's, you know, with their hair on fire panicking that, you know, the offense only scored 17 points against Purdue. I think there's a lot more potential there, but obviously, you know, you're right, they need to clean up some things. But if they're going to, you know, have any dreams of running the table and making the playoff or anything like that.
And the last drive as well against Purdue, I mean, they got inside the 10 and they just
right,
nailed
it. And
so that could have been more points too. But, I think there are kind of two schools of thought here. One is that four top 10 teams lost, like, mm-hmm. this is Wisconsin, and it's just, okay, let's just they take care of business. Doesn't matter how you win, a win is
right.
a win. The win is a win crowd, I guess, is one school of thought. And I think if you win every game and you go 13-0, then that's great. That, mm-hmm. that's the approach you should take. But if you do slip up somewhere, sometimes a win is a win, and the rest of your games isn't enough. You
right.
know? And so I it's going to be interesting to see how this offense bounces back. I think Hornibrook's thrown is it five interceptions the last three games now, and. And they've had a couple other miscues with fumbles. You know, they've had a couple lost fumbles and the block punt, mm-hmm. Which I think it's probably good they got that block punt now because it seems like that was a little bit of a.
They said that they think that Purdue saw that on film from when they motioned out the personal protector out there.
Yeah, so they probably
crowded
won't do that
up online.
Now.
So yes, we'll see on the this weekend if they've fixed that that protection to erase that problem, because if they don't, then other teams are, you know, have that play on tape and they're going to be licking their chops to go out and try and do the same thing. So,
and I don't think I've talked to you since the preseason on the podcast.
Yeah, you've been ignoring me. That's right. It's fine.
Since on the podcast, you haven't come on since the preseason, and
right.
I think you predicted 11-1 back then.
And I think I said the Michigan game was the loss.
Did you? Okay. Well, do you still feel that way?
I don't.
You feel 12-0 now?
I don't feel great about it, but I am more on the 12-0 side than the 11-1 side than I was. I mean, for one thing, Michigan's without their quarterback, and John O'Korn, I don't know, has looked particularly impressive.
I was going to ask if it's more about Michigan or more about Wisconsin.
It's more about Michigan.
Yeah.
For one thing, I just don't, and I don't know if you watched that the Michigan Indiana game. Because I was watching a little bit of it before I came down to Camp Randall for the game last week, and boy, when Michigan gets into the red zone, I mean, it's like watching a completely different team. Like, for some reason, it just seems like they have just kind of clammed up, and they play too tight, and they have just not been able to score touchdowns down in there. And, you know, playing against Wisconsin's defense, which is an experienced unit that, one way or another, just seems to have a knack for, you know, making these big plays when they need to. I think it's going to be a really tough matchup for them. And so I think it's more from having watched Michigan play than, you know, because I'm much more impressed with Wisconsin than I was, say, in the preseason or anything. I think they're kind of right about where I thought they would be. But you know, just from watching how the Wolverines have played, I think the Badgers are definitely going to be favored in that game, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win it. And, you know, when you look at the rest of their schedule, I mean, I don't see a team where I could feel great about and say I'm going to predict that they lose that game. So, yeah, I mean, it feels weird. I don't remember being, you know, in that state of mind where I think that the Wisconsin football is going to go undefeated in the regular season. But, you know, it's kind of a perfect storm so far this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned Michigan's struggles in the red zone. Wisconsin has only allowed touchdowns on about 26% of red zone.
Purdue is a very good red zone team coming into that game too. So, you know, it's they've been the defense in particular has been very impressive. I mean, if you had told me that that they would be playing this well, you know, after you don't even get one snap in the season from Siggy. Obasi's only played in one game. I think one or two. I mean, he's been out for several weeks. That's a it's a senior 3-year starter on your defensive line.
Yeah.
They've just had the depth and the talent to compete with these other teams. And I think that I think Jim Leonard has done a good job of keeping what's been working here at Wisconsin. And he certainly seems to put his own spin on things. But I mean, for the most part, it's the same Wisconsin defense that we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years or so, and it's been very impressive once again.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning toward thinking 12-0 is a lot more possible as well, because like you said, Michigan's just.
I mean, maybe it, by the second last week of the season, they've kind of worked out the kinks a little bit, but like if they were to play this week or next week, I would I think that they win that game. But
I am under the belief though that Ohio State is going to win out and make the playoffs.
They could. I mean, Ohio State's enormously talented, and it's always funny. I mean, like obviously neither of us cover Ohio State, but I always feel like in the background, people are saying like what's wrong with Ohio State's offense, but then you see them go out and score 45 or 50 points, almost every week.
Or 60.
Right. Yeah. Or 60, and it's like people have so much of a high standard for success out there. Because do they get Penn State at? In
Is
Columbus?
It yes,
okay.
They do.
Yeah, so I could see. I could definitely see that too. Boy, that would be an interesting Big Ten championship game, wouldn't it?
It would. Yes, I think it'd be closer than 59-0.
I think it would. You would hope so. I mean, like that was kind of a perfect storm of. I remember going into that game, and I thought they were going to win that game because they were playing Cardale Jones.
Yeah, Wisconsin was favored in that game.
Right, yeah.
And by like 4 points.
Right. Yeah, oh, man, yeah. That was quite a turn of events, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, I don't think it would be 59-0. I don't know that I would predict them to beat Ohio State, but you get into 12-0, and anything's possible. So.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have time to talk about Maryland too much, but do you have a prediction for this game?
I think that they'll beat Maryland by probably two or three touchdowns, somewhere in there. I mean, I think Maryland's offense is explosive at times because DJ Moore, I think, is really good at wide receiver, and their running back is coming off of a 1,000-yard season. And the big thing is that they're on their third quarterback, and he's played okay so far through the first couple of games. He doesn't he gives them a couple different things that he can do. They think he's. I was just chatting with the Maryland rival site, and they think he might be the better pure passer out of the three that they've played so far this year. But he was the third quarterback for a reason. Wisconsin's defense is going to be a pretty big test for them. Plus, Maryland's offense is, if you can call it boom or bust, I think they're going to boom way less than they bust, because last year I think they were the top. Or the team with near the top, or the most in the country of three and outs, for offensive drives. And Wisconsin's defense this year and then last year seems like they have done a pretty good job of forcing teams into those three and outs and getting them off the field really quickly, especially with when they have a matchup advantage, or if they're the more talented side, when they go out there. So I think Maryland needs to be able to move the ball consistently and convert on third downs. I think they're last in the Big Ten in third down conversions so far, offensively, of course. And if they can't, stay on the field and move the chains and string together a drive, the chances of you hitting on a big play go way down, because if you're three and out, you know, almost every drive, or, you know, more often than you should be, then it's going to take away from your chances to, you know, get a big play off to DJ Moore or to your run game or anything like that. So I haven't really looked as much at Maryland's defense yet, but I feel like Wisconsin's offense is balanced enough. Even if you're down a couple of wide receivers, I feel like with Jonathan Taylor and, you know, hopefully for them a little healthier, Toyfoe Magali and your other wide receivers that are coming in, I think they'll be all right. So I think they'll win pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much on the same page. I think I'm probably going to pick like 35-13, 38-17, somewhere.
I don't think it's
going
to be 17-9.
No, I don't think so either.
But you know, Maryland is, I think, there's talent there for sure, and so they'll have to, you know, be on the top of their game to pull it off. It's never easy to win a Big Ten game, but I think they're more talented on both sides of the ball, and I think we'll see it this weekend.
Thanks for joining us, John.
Happy to be here.
We're now joined by Badgers running back Rasheed Ibrahim here on the Red Zone Podcast. How you doing, Rasheed?
Good. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for joining us. I guess these last couple games have been, you gotten a little more work. Seemed like, you know, at the start of the season, you know, with Jonathan breaking out, and it seemed like you were a little bit pushed out of the rotation a little bit. But how exciting is it to get a little bit more playing time? And it seems like you produced really well out there.
Yeah. It's been great. It's been exciting. You know, we got a real talented room. So, you know, really the philosophy in the room is just be ready when your number's called. So that's just the way everybody in the room practices. So that's really what it is. You know, obviously my number's been called a little bit more lately, and it's great. But it could be anybody else in the room, really. So that's just really stay ready when you're called on.
I'm sure you knew this was a talented room when you first got here, and I mean, you decided to come here for your final year. I guess not with no guarantees that you'd be playing a ton. What was kind of went into the decision to come here? I know you were familiar with a lot of the assistants here and everything, but kind of what went into that decision to come here?
Obviously, I was familiar with the coaching staff, Coach Chris, my position coach, Coach Rudy, a lot of guys on the staff, and I felt real comfortable coming here. You know, they expressed to me that they liked me. Obviously, they liked what I did for them at Pitt, and I would have a chance to compete here, and that's really all I wanted, a chance to compete. And after thinking about it, I took my time, really. You know, I didn't make a decision until June, and I had left Pitt in December, so it wasn't nothing that was rushed. After I thought about it, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to reunite with them, and, you know, we'd have a chance to win some ball games and do something special here, and I wanted to be a part of that.
The average fan may not take into account pass blocking for running backs when they're evaluating, you know, how good they are, but I know that's something that you seem to be excelling in. Is that something you take a lot of pride in, to be able to be in there on third downs and passing situations and help in protection?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a third down is money down, you know, keeping the drive alive. So that's really something I pride myself in, just pass protecting. That's how I got on the field early as a freshman with Coach Chris. You know, that's kind of what they wanted me to do. So I took pride in that because I knew this is how I can get on the field as a freshman instead of being redshirted. So, you know, I took pride in that, and it's a big thing, you know. Third down is one of the clutch downs of the game, and you come up big on those, you keep the drive alive.
When you guys get to this point where you're 6-0, and you know you're up to number 5 in the rankings, do you start thinking about, you know, kind of the possibilities for this season and the fact that, you know, you're right there for, you know, the college football playoff, things like that?
Try not to think about it too much, really. Just try to keep that noise outside of the building. You know, we're special. We got a special team, and, you know, we're working towards winning every game. And the goal really is to just be 1-0 at the end of the week and take it game by game. And this week is Maryland, so the focus is Maryland and beating Maryland. So, you know, we try not to think about that. The coaches do a great job of keeping us focused on the task at hand and the task of the week. So we just follow behind them.
I know a lot of guys have talked about the fact that, you know, you guys set goals before each season, and I think even a couple people had mentioned that you guys, you know, want to win a national championship. That's kind of one of your goals. Is that something you guys talked about before the season at all as a possibility, or something that you wanted to do or thought was possible?
For sure, absolutely. I mean, the goal is always to win them all and to be at the top, but we know it's a process. It's not just going to happen just like that. So, you know, through the spring ball, through the summer workouts, through fall camp and then the season. So it's a process, and you know, guys have put a goal out there, the team has put a goal out there, but we know that it's going to come game by game. And you know, at the end of the day, the goal right now is to beat Maryland, so that's the focus.
This is we talked about how deep the running back group is for you guys, how talented the room is. It seems like you guys have a good mix too. You have, you know, obviously Jonathan, you know, breaking out as a runner, and then you have a lot of guys like yourself and Chris and Groshek who can come in on third down and do good work. Do you feel like you have a really good balance of guys? It seems like, you know, there's six guys you guys can probably rely on when everybody's healthy and that can do a lot of different things. You think that's really beneficial for your offense?
Absolutely. I mean, the fact that we run the ball so much and we put that on film, and the fact that we play in the Big Ten, you're going to need more than two or three backs. You're going to need that guys that can roll. And we feel real confident because we got five, six guys that can go at any given time. And we feel like there won't be any let-off. So we're real blessed to have a room like that. Not everybody in the country can say they had that, but we do, and we feel real confident in that. And that's just really our coaching. Coach Sad has been coaching us up and coaching us to be the best backs that we can be. And I'm really a credit to him and just the coaching staff pushing us to be great.
Are you surprised at all what Jonathan's been able to do this season?
He surprised me in camp, and then once I saw what he could do in camp, I was like, yeah, he could definitely play. He's a baller. So I wasn't surprised once the season got going. He surprised me in camp, and once he surprised me, I was like, all right, this guy's a big-time player. He's going to be real special for this university to come in the next couple of years. He's a really exciting player, and he's special. He's going to do some great things at this university. It sucks that I'll only be around here for a year to see him, but I'll definitely be keeping an eye on him after I leave.
This 1 year can be pretty good. I mean, he's starting to get some Heisman buzz.
Yeah. We try to keep that type of noise outside.
Yeah.
just in the room, you know, we try to focus on what we put on film, and he's been putting some real good stuff on film.
All right. Thanks, Rasheed. Good luck the rest of the season.
Yeah. Take care.
That's going to do it for this week. I completely forgot at the beginning of the podcast to mention that John Veldhuis is from BadgerBlitz.com. Sorry about that, John. That's where you can read his stuff, and you can also follow him on Twitter at John Veldhuis. Follow me on Twitter as well at Jason_Galloway, and join me for a live chat on Twitter after Saturday's game against Maryland to get some instant reaction for what we think is going to be another Badgers victory. And if you have not yet, you can subscribe to The Red Zone on iTunes. And join me next week. Thanks for listening.